podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
¿Qué pasa, campeones? Welcome to the Churros y Tácticas podcast. No, I can't do better than that. Look at me. For those that are seeing the video version of today's pod, if it looks like there's a 40-year-old man on the right side of the screen with bags under his eyes and barely able to slur his words out, it's because there's a 40-year-old man on the right side of your screen that has got bags under his eyes, barely able to talk. Keon, today's my Sunday, and I'm awaiting, or a work week is awaiting me of 7, potentially 9 consecutive straight days. I just came off of a 3-day weekend bender. It's a public holiday, Feliz San Juan, for everybody celebrating St. John, would it be? Right, San Juan. It's a lot of fun, a lot of firecrackers. So it's been a lot of late nights. And anyway, Keon was like, you're doing the intro. I thought he would be doing it. And this is about as much as energy as I have. Despite it being Friday the 24th of June, we're here not just for our patrons, we're here for everybody, because it's been a long time that Keon and I haven't been together on the pod. So welcome back, Keon. Why don't you introduce yourself to those listeners that maybe have joined since you've been gone and are not familiar that this is a duo, a two-way pod. Welcome back, boy. You should have done the fucking intro, basically, is what I'm trying to say as well.
I'm never doing an intro way again. Too long. I'm never doing an intro again. I can't. After what now we know what you're capable of. There, it makes no sense for me to ever do the intro. This is what you were born to do. You're amazing at it. It's a strength. I can't. And there's no way I can ever do it justice. And I'm really disappointed that you didn't do a good one today, because all these excuses. I'm tired. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Dr. Dre goes up on stage and just slurs his words, and at the end he's like, thanks for coming out, so sorry, I was tired, it's my Sunday, there's firecrackers, it's St. John's birthday? I don't think so. If you want to be one of the greats, you gotta come in, you gotta dig deep.
I didn't expect it, in all honesty. In fact, I forgot even to put out a poll. I was like, do you want Keon to come on with a freestyle? And I didn't put that poll out on Twitter. But it would have been obviously predominantly yes. The vast majority of us were hoping that you would come with a freestyle with the heat and bring something to this. But I mean, listen, that's being said, thank you, dude. It was really nice to hear. And I enjoy doing it. I hope you guys enjoy listening to it.
Well, the least you can do after putting out an episode about Barcelona's handball title is to at least do the greatest intro we've ever heard. It's a good way to balance whatever that propaganda was. Also, people are asking, where are the 45 titles? We're confused about that. What are they?
Well, then they should listen to that podcast, because unlike you assuming that the entire podcast was about the handball team and that
I couldn't even
title,
post it on Managing Madrid,
I knew that. I already assumed that. I was like, he's not going to do this post. And that's why I just had fun with it. I said one thing about the handball team. So for those that listen to the episode, please explain to this man where the 45 European Cups come from. It's from 5 different sections. It's Barça Femení, the football team, the basketball team, the handball team, and the futsal team. And I think the roller hockey. So 6 sections. Yes, roller hockey.
Roller hockey
with 22 European Cups, baby. You should listen to the pod. It was fun. We had fun.
If I'm Florentino Perez, I'm putting out a roller hockey team as soon as possible to catch up to those titles.
45 European Cups. Listen, that I had to put, you know, that clickbaity title in there. And at the end of the day, it was a fun pop. It was a fun pod. We went through the different sections, what they have won, where Madrid still needs to catch up. So you guys are beating us only in football and basketball. Which, congratulations, and I gave congrats to I bigged up Madrid basketball team beating Barca, which, again, not that you would have noticed. You see, you tweet more about me than you do kind of like follow Real Madrid sections. I feel that was a 1-1. The series
it may
was
seem like
that,
but I'd say it's about the ratio is probably 2-10 for every 10 Real Madrid tweets I put out, there's 2 tweets of bullshit on churros. Take a dig at you. It may seem like a lot, but it's probably 20%. But no, the reason I do it is because I'm sometimes oblivious. I'm floating through life and I'm focusing on Real Madrid. And even the stuff that I should know about, I don't know about sometimes. Like, you know, you're bringing to my attention, hey, big basketball game. Hey, Barcelona are about to win the Euro League or whatever, or win the Spanish League. So, and then you bring it to my attention.
Only to get beaten by Madrid.
but then we win. And I'm like, well, shit, he brought it to my attention, gave me shit about it. Now I have to like bring this up. Like, this is the one thing you were clinging to. I mean, the one that I think was kind of fun also was, I mean, I knew about it, but Barcelona heading into that Women's Champions League final as well, you know, and the fact that Lyon won that was also great. I mean, there was nothing left for you to, that's not true. You had the handball. There's always something left.
Handball, I feel like, and futsal.
And futsal.
The futsal team won the Champions League, yes, and the handball teams won the Champions League.
I feel like if you dig deep enough, every year you'll find something that you can cling to. Like next
we
year,
do.
It'll be
we
like
do.
Real Madrid has won the Club sections. World Cup. Next year, Real Madrid will have won the Club World Cup, Champions League, La Liga, Copa del Rey, Super Cup, Women's Champions League, Euro League basketball, and then you'll just find something like, oh, but hey, me and Lolo just play PlayStation and we beat Real Madrid on easy mode. We won.
It's something. What? It's good for you. It's good to be back with you, man. We missed you. I hope we've been enjoying your travels, following the sceneries, the different places you went. How was it for you? Family?
Great. Just very.
Was it like, have you seen those movies with Chevy Chase, the Lampoon?
Yep, my entire childhood. Right. There was a few of them. My favorite one is the one they go to Vegas. That's a good one.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh,
you know?
That's a great one. Yeah.
Mm.
And his son goes down to sneak away and play some of the slot machines. He ends up like being a fan favorite of the mafia, and he goes and he becomes like this high roller. Yeah, it's an incredible one. It was good, you know, just family. It was just like that, actually, but maybe not to that extent because my kids are like 4 and 2 and they're not 17 and 15, which is the day I kind of dread because, you know, I'm sure they'll be out of my control and doing stupid things by then. But for now, they're nice and innocent and cute, and they run around and they play with each other and they ask questions and they want to go and get ice cream. And I love it. It's a really, really fun time to be a dad, as you know. I mean, it's special. So
yes,
I'm not taking it for granted. A lot of I've spoken to a lot of people, and I'm curious to know what your thoughts on this as a dad as well, because on one hand, it's a difficult phase. You know, and in my case in particular, everyone's going to have different experiences being a parent. Having 2 boys who are this young and too close and so close to each other is challenging. You know, they're not the type of people you can necessarily put down and say, do this, I'm going to relax. They're constantly on the go. They have a lot of energy. They want to do physical exertion. They want to run and climb rocks and climb trees and climb dangerous things and touch dangerous things. It's hard. It's a hard phase as a parent. But I've spoken to people who have 2 kids and 2 boys even, and they've told me, you're in the hardest phase, but you're in the most special phase. Don't take it for granted. And I really have taken that to heart and really enjoyed my time with these kids. So didn't know if you want to have any thoughts on that, though, in terms of the
phase.
Yeah,
I think it's a phase where education, you know, you're really trying to educate your kids the best way possible, set them up, you know, for their latter years, let's say their adolescent years and eventually adult years. And of course, the base, these early years are so important, but at the same time, you have to enjoy it as well and let kids be kids, you know? So, I'm not somebody that's necessarily overly protective, and I very much enjoy kind of going into their world and just taking part in all the goofiness and stuff. And I think it is, I would like to think that I am very aware of the moment in that sense and appreciate being, you know, the, their universe, really, right? I mean, between my wife and I, you know, that's now is the time where the kids look up to you, they listen to you, that you they want to be with you all the time, they want to play with you, and that, as we all know, once you become a teenager, that definitely goes away, because then friends become the most important, you know, opening, like leaving the nest little by little and becoming your own person in this crazy world. So now's really a time where, even though it's exhausting and very tiring at times, and it can be heavy and draining, and you want to just, we had a weekend last week where my wife and I managed to get away for our anniversary and leave the kids two nights with my parents. And it's this newfound freedom, you know, where you're, that you're so deprived of, where you're just able to, I started two books in, you know, in the course of 3 days. So it was,
like writing two books.
I haven't done. No, reading, man. Oh. Reading.
Well, still cool.
Writing two books.
I was like, wow, and, Diego, just dropping it down like that casually.
But it's super enjoyable at the same time. You know, I miss them and being around them, at this point in their lives, between, you know, my daughter's three, as you know, Kian and Lorenzo seven, and, them two together. They're just a very funny couple. The things they ask and how they say things, it's all really cute, adorable, and just heartwarming and melting, really.
That's awesome. Yeah, you're doing it the right way, by the way, because all the science shows, like, you got to let kids be kids. And there's a lot, like, you got to avoid every single ounce of trauma that can possibly arise. Any moment of sadness or anger or anything that could happen in front of them, that it could literally change their life. And so, like, the way to unlock their creativity and set them up for the future is basically let them be them. Don't get angry at them ever. Don't yell at them. Understand that kids have to go through their own path. Just protect them and guide them and teach them. That's it. All right.
That's it.
Do you want to talk about football?
What or is no? there to talk
about? Nothing.
No, I'm
nothing.
Joking. Well,
apart from Lewandowski. Absolutely. And yeah. I mean, it's actually really slow in Real Madrid world.
Shots being fired. Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, you guys just had two great signings.
That was like 2 weeks ago, though. Really starving for content now.
It's just... Come on, we're league done, Champions League done, key players in done. Let's go. Mbappe not coming.
We don't even need him. We don't even need him. We're set up. We're good. Listen, actually, it's funny because I was going to do, I don't know if you spoke about it on the podcast you did, but you and I had a kind of a miscommunication last podcast because I thought you were still away with your wife and that I was going to do the podcast. So I asked the patrons for questions, and they submitted questions, and then it turned out you were back, so you just recorded the podcast, but then there's a few questions that were just left on hold because of that. So I thought we could take at least a couple of them today. There's a question for you specifically as well, because there's always questions for you, because no one really cares about me, especially after these intros you've been doing lately. Now it's like, is Keon even needed? Is he necessary? Is he holding the podcast
you
back?
You are.
I am. I think I am. Maybe I should step away for a little bit. I don't know.
No, bro. We are going places. We're busy molding and shaping this pod into it becoming just the right recipe for Churros y Tácticas.
I like it. I'll piggyback off that. I'll piggyback off your success. I'll mooch it.
You are a key element, key ingredient. So,
unfortunately, I think the first question directed to you actually is because it's the free episode. I don't know if you're allowed to answer this. Should I read it anyway? And then you can direct me.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Sure.
Our patron C, who's a patron over on patreon.com/churrosytacticas, where you get one exclusive episode per week where Diego shares all of his inside info. Kind of sarcastic, but kind of not. C says, hey, Diego, what can you comment about the recent post of how much Barca owes from previous signings for over 125 million euros?
Yeah, so I checked out the link that was added with this question. And, well, two main things came to mind, really. And first of all was... Why is this coming out? Why are these kind of news bulletins going out, and I know a lot of our listeners might, brand me as being a victimista, playing the victim here. But it does seem that at the moment, bullying on Barca is kind of easy. It's kind of like the thing to do online and on social media. It has been for a while, and when I see these kind of posts, I just think they're just trying to add more, throw more shit, and seeing what. At the wall and see what sticks, basically. Because I'm sure you could pull a list like this for all the clubs everywhere in professional football. And maybe the sports as well. So what does this say? I'm sure that this Barca is not the only club that owes money for transfers. I'm sure this is pretty standard practice amongst clubs.
It actually is.
I looked at Valencia, what Barca supposedly owes Valencia for Neto, the 6 million, 6.5 million. But I thought that was sort of canceled with the Cilicin, fee as well, which basically canceled each other out. There's, a sum there from nearly 8 million for Arthur, Malcolm, et cetera, Pjanic. Look, it says nothing to me. It says, that this is standard practice amongst football clubs. There's no way that I can't say for a fact that Barca is the only one, because I cannot now here show you exactly and say, look at Real Madrid, look at Manchester United, look at, Juventus. But for sure that this, we could pull up lists like this for other clubs. That's point one. And point two is that I feel like it's just another, it's like, hey, look at Barca. They're ruined, piece of shit, old club, blah, 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 blah. What do you think?
Well, to your point, the practice of amortization and paying transfers over time is very common among many clubs.
Right.
Almost every club. Pretty much every club. I think if this is different, it's different because perhaps Barcelona are falling behind on some of these payments, which I don't know is true or not. But I did feel like maybe this is a good segue to talk about Tebas' quotes yesterday. Tebas, every day I just expect for him to wake up, flip a coin, and say Barcelona can't afford signings, or Barcelona can't afford signings. Every day it's going to be, he's just going to flip a coin and say some random bullshit because he feels like he has to. Maybe he's answering questions. I don't actually even know the context of yesterday's quotes. Did he just wake up and speak into a microphone and say Barcelona can exercise financial levers? I don't even know what that means still. On that note, and now Bayern are playing real hardball with Lewandowski. You and I have talked
and
about...
also...
Yeah. I have talked about Lewandowski. We had like an entire segment on Lewandowski, so we don't need to talk about it again, but I just thought I would bring this to your attention. This today, a report from the maybe not-so-reliable sport, to put it politely, says that Lewandowski is ready to act if Bayern blocks his transfer to Barca. And he doesn't want to go to preseason with that team.
Right.
If you had to put a percentage of this happening, what would you put it at? Like, of Lewandowski being a Barcelona player?
So hard. I honestly don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. I think it's... you have two parties that really want to make this deal happen. It's priority for these two parties to make this happen, and you have one party that is playing not just hardball, they're also joining into this bullying that I was mentioning before, where Hoeneß every given occasion is like, there, if they're in Germany, they'll be thrown in jail and fucking been chastised away from the German league. And as if Barca is the only club. This is coming from a guy that spent time in jail because of fiscal fraud. So, he must know a lot about Barca's finances. And again, this is as if Barca is the only club in debt as well. This is, football clubs have debt. And Barca, among, let's say, the top three teams, Manchester United, Real Madrid, and Barca, these three teams have been the highest earning, clubs in sports. Forget football, in sports. For years now, the revenue that these three clubs make is head over heels above the competition, the rest, including Bayern. And that means that Barca, despite the debt, is still generating a whole lot of money. And therefore, along with these palancas that now have been approved, right? These additional ways where Barca can capitalize on their assets, be it BLM, be it Barca Studios, sale of those, the 49% here, for 500 million, the 250 million on the TV rights deal, etc. These are additional amounts that Barca are currently in negotiations, and it has to be done quick. It has to be done before the end of the month, before the 30th of June. Otherwise, otherwise it'll be too late. So we will soon get more news in terms of what Barca plans to do with BLM and Barca Studios, and getting more money in order to confront making these signings. And we will see what, the summer's still long. We will see what Barca ends up doing. I find it very hard to put a percentage to it, Kian. Not because I don't want to share anything. I just at this point in time, I don't know. You're looking at figures that are being reported in a newspaper between one party wanting 30 plus variables, maybe 40, and then the other party won't sit at the table unless conversations start at 50 million. I don't know. I don't know what is going to happen. I don't know what, how Barca will be able to play the game, like as in how loaded their backpack will be. Players need to leave as well. We of course have the mass salarial, excuse me, still be an issue as well. It's going to be an eventful summer. That's all I can say at this point. And I think we will see big moves take place.
I still think Bayern are well within their rights to play hardball. I mean, if they want 50 million to even begin negotiations, then it's their player. He's under contract. They're well within their rights to do that. So we'll
They
see
are,
where.
but why are they so shitty about it? I mean, again, this is a club that also is used to being the fish in a small pond, and poach fucking top players from their the Dortmund and the other teams that are surrounding them, and they've also
They
gotten
pay for those players. I mean, look.
Thiago was an opportunity for them when he was in his final contract year with Barca, and they got him on the cheap. There's no foul being committed here. Lewandowski has 1 year left, a player they got free, mind you. They didn't pay anything for him. He wants to leave. If he deems that his time with the company is done, he wants to leave. There's a club that is interested and wants to pay money, and that is Barca. Why are they being so shitty about it? I get that, okay, they can play hardball, sure, but they're being almost like immature about it, as if they're such a victim now and they've never played this game. Far better than me. I'm sure the players that they've managed to sign on the cheap or for free from other clubs in their history as well.
But they're not doing anything illegal. Like, I mean,
No.
from Bayern's perspective, I've always been
It's being cuntish.
okay. So for example, I really like the way Real Madrid run things in that if you don't want to play here, you're out. Don't care who you are. Don't care if you're Ronaldo, Di Stefano, or whoever. You're out. Ramos, the same thing. Like, it was a club legend. Like, he started to play a little bit of hardball with his contract, and Florentino was like, "You missed the window. That's it." I like that about us. Because the club has always been over the player. And so when I see things like PSG holding Mbappe or turning on 200 million or Bayern doing this with Lewandowski, I'm like, yeah, well, like, what kind of culture do you have there? Players want to leave and you're holding them against their will. That's dumb. But at
Well, I
this.
don't think, but Varane left when he wanted to leave. He had to stay on for another season before he eventually departed.
I mean, he. No. As far as I know, and I've been in touch
He
with
wanted to
his.
leave them to. Oh.
He played hardball. Like, I've been in touch with his brother a little bit, and who was his agent. And basically, like, with him, it's like he wanted to he wanted to kind of get a better contract. He wanted a new challenge, but ultimately he was convinced to stay, and then he left on amicable terms, and Real Madrid lost him. It wasn't like, you know, stay against your will kind of deal. But with with Bayern and Lewandowski, it's like if I'm at least in Bayern's position, if I'm at least to see their side of things, they're not signing anyone with whatever money Barca send them to sign anyone nearly as good as Lewandowski. So, and he's one of the best players in the world still, even at his age. So I understand. Like, why is Lewandowski signing a contract if he's not planning to honor it? This is the same reason I got mad with Harry Kane, like, last summer when he was like, he signed this absurd contract with Tottenham, which chains him for X amount of years. And now he's throwing a fit and he wants to leave. Lewandowski's like, you got 1 year left, man. You signed it. No one forced you to sign it. No one put a gun to your head to sign it. Like, if you want to, the correct way, in my opinion, to deal with this is like, hey, guys, I want to leave. I love Bayern. I've been part of the club's history now. We've written history together. We have 1 year left in my contract. Try to move me on. And if you can't, I guess I'll leave next season. And that's it. And if something, like, you have to also understand, like, try to put yourself, your club in a good position as well. Mm. You know, Hazard was like that with Chelsea too. The way he left, he was like, you know, I'll stay or I'll leave. I'd like to leave, but if I stay, I'm still going to play hard for you guys. It's all good. Lewandowski is like mad at Bayern because the offer is not good enough for the club. And now he's refusing to play. He's refusing to come, show up to preseason. I don't think that's right. I don't like that. Mm. That's where I stand on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When you say the offer is not good, you mean what Bayern are offering him?
No, I mean what Barca are offering Bayern.
Ah, okay.
Like, maybe Barca feel like that's a good deal, but maybe Bayern don't, you know?
Well, apparently he wasn't happy as well with the initial offer that Bayern, was offering him, basically, to re-sign his contract as well.
Yeah, so what are you going to do, throw a hissy fit now? And like,
well, I don't know, man. I think each party is looking out for their best interest. And
sure.
I think it would be a mistake, though, for Bayern to force a player against his will to stay on.
What's the equivalent of, has Barca ever had a situation where the player wanted to leave, but then Barca forced him to stay?
The most famous one?
Messi?
Of course.
Well, your opinion on that is that Barca probably should have sold Messi in that moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, like, I also, you know, as much as I like that Real Madrid put the club above the player, I don't feel that strongly about clubs in a way. Like, look, I don't know. I mean, I guess I can just see some clubs' perspectives in wanting to keep a player under contract who they can't replace. I get it. Especially if that club is, like, Messi, like, showed up that year and was amazing, right? Even though they kept him with him wanting to leave. Like, nothing was really, things were forgotten pretty quickly. So, like, is Lewandowski really just not going to show up? Like, for how long? Like, how long is that going to happen? Like, it'd be so funny to me if we had, like, an NBA equivalent of, like, Ben Simmons not showing up or Kyrie just not showing up over and over and over again for various reasons. I don't remember that happening in football, do you? When does it happen?
It's happened. These kind of things were quite, yeah. I think it was pretty standard practice in the 90s and early 2000s and stuff. I remember
sure players for both
Barca and Madrid that kind of forced their signings to happen, you know, basically take an opposing position and kind of aggressive in the stance. Look, the most recent one for Barca was, of course, Dembele. That he didn't want to show up to Dortmund practices. And But I want to say, like Zizou, Ronaldo, these players, like Juve was not happy to be dealing for Zizou. I remember in those days, and I want to say Zizou for something. I think Nazario did as well with Inter.
Juve did so well after that Zizou deal, though. I gotta say, like, they really, really replaced him like with the best you could replace Zidane with. Like, I mean, they use that money super wisely. So that's the case, is like if you can get a good deal for like at that moment was the world record for Zidane, Juve did tremendously well. But yeah, but with Barca's case and Figo, they did not do so well with that money, right? Yeah,
And
it's
Neymar.
an and Neymar, that was a disaster. So it's funny, Dembele is a good segue, by the way. Years on from not showing up to practice for Dortmund, don't know if much has changed. He's giving everyone a hard time. Does he just end up renewing with Barca? His
He
agent
was
seems out
asked
of his
this at
mind,
a
right?
stoplight. He was asked a couple days ago. I don't know if you saw that video that went
No.
viral. They were like, oh, blah, blah, blah. I think it was in France because they were speaking in French. They're like, you're going to Chelsea? And he was like, nah, I'm staying at Barca. I'm good. I'm good there. I'm happy. So it's very bizarre. And now the papers are reporting that he wants to stay, but he or him he him and his agent, the Dembele, team Dembele, let's say. They are unwilling to budge from their demands, and Barca so far are unwilling to raise the offer.
I
So,
there's don't you wish that we could put out a universal rule where agents get shit all? Like no more signing fees. Like it should just be illegal to have signing fees and family members getting big
it's
bonuses
just.
and getting strippers delivered to their house and parties and all this stuff. Enough. The player gets Diego's like, I don't know, the strippers one sounds good. But enough. Like the player should get paid, that's it. And then the player can use his own money to pay out whoever he wants. That's it. Like these Dembele's agent, sorry to say, has no right to ask for anything, man. He's the agent of Ousmane Dembele, not the agent of Pele.
I know, I
Dembele, who
know.
is
It's
Dembele, man? He's a good right winger who's showed his brilliance at times and has done nothing for Barca's history apart from bleed money for them and not play. And then not show up to practice or show up late to practice. Who does he think he is? No wonder no one's paying his agent. Why would you want to? Like, I actually think if Mbappe had have left for Real Madrid, he probably would have gotten paid at PSG, to be honest. But I don't. Why is it like I don't blame anyone for not lining up. So that I think that's what happens. Like, I think that's why he's probably just staying at Barca. But does that mean Barca are paying the agent fees?
That's the thing. That's the thing. Right now, it's a complete standstill. And PSG, if anything, I mean, we talked about it in the past, but I think now with this news coming out of Neymar, or them, desperate to dump Neymar off at the, first and best given opportunity, mainly because the ultras, right, the PSG ultras, are demanding that he be shipped off, and Al Khelaifi seems to go out of his way to please the ultras, the fans, the PSG hardcore PSG fans, and he recently talked about it as well in an interview, where he basically put out a very clear message and to say, like, look, we are only going to continue with those players that are willing to sacrifice. I mean, saying everything that the fans will want to hear, of course, but they seem serious in their intent, at least, to try to scalp Neymar on the market and see what they can get. In which case, the option of Dembele would, of course, become a whole lot more interesting, especially seeing that Mbappe is the sporting director there. And even though that thing that Al Khelaifi
He's still
interviewed, I don't know if
funny.
you read it, you probably did. It was everything. It was just, I mean, I'm not, obviously, I'm no Madridista, but still, it was just hilarious how he was saying how the offer was better from Madrid. How, I mean, the guy, like, hij lult uit zijn nek, jongen. In Dutch, we say he dicks out of his neck. It just means he talks so much shit.
I so my
He's such a blatant liar. And
he's about
it's just jaw dropping at times.
as like in terms of people who I respect, he's about like as out of like the 8 billion people on Earth, he's probably like 8 billion, like in the rankings. he seems like, and usually like smart people who are just bad people who are rich, or sorry, rich people who are just bad people, at least you can, there's some sense of, some semblance of intelligence to them. Like, okay, they're shitty people, but they knew how to make money. They were smart or whatever. I don't think he's, I don't think he's anything. He doesn't have a soul. He doesn't have an ounce of decency in him. And I think he just got rich by just like, they put him there as this puppet who has no idea what he's doing. His quotes are complete nonsense. He is literally a criminal. And they put a microphone in front of him. What's worse is that he's not accountable for anything. The rules don't exist for him. Like this was today, breaking from Sky Sports News. Breaking: PSG president Nasser Al-Khelaifi has been acquitted for a second time after being accused of involvement in bribery and criminal mismanagement in the awarding of World Cup broadcast rights. What's going to happen?
Wow.
Nothing's going to happen.
Nothing. Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah. So, Diego, if that report about them offering Neymar to Barca, as much as I hate Barcelona, if you do that favor for them, I'll be livid.
That's not going
to happen, man. Like, I hope not. For your sake, and also just, it would just insane. Like, that guy is like,
dude, there's no way.
Okay.
There's no way of that happening. Xavi's priorities are very much somewhere else. So, I would imagine Madridistas would love that to happen, and it would, of course, take the world by storm with new memes and whatnot. But, you know, that. With in particular as well, the decision making weighing so heavily in this case with Xavi, and less so with the decision makers of the past, of the Barca dressing room heavyweights that wanted the return in Neymar in previous seasons, and you know, because this is, it's just been a never ending soap saga where with this flirting, constant flirting between the players, Barca players, and Neymar. Oh, come back! We'll want him back with open arms. It's not gonna happen. That's just not gonna happen, you know. That's over. Xavi, like I said, his priorities are elsewhere. His priorities are very clear, and his priorities are very ambitious as well. I discussed a little bit on the pods while you were not here, but I don't think you'll have to listen to those pods and become a patron.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I guess it's good to hear that. I mean, like, also the fact, you know, Neymar, I'm sure, would be okay with it, but also his friends have moved on. Messi is gone. Messi is with him now. Suarez is gone.
Right.
The team is completely different. So, can we go back to the questions?
And what's really interesting, a little food for thought for those that are interested in acquiring Neymar services as well. I was recently listening again to, I think it must have been Satan. Somebody was discussing Neymar, and they were saying, you know, what are you going to get? Maybe now, if anything, is the best time to invest in a Neymar, because we are at the cusp of what? The tournament that all the players of his generation, the, you know, called it late 20s to mid to early 30s, or want to play in, which is the World Cup, right? Neymar wants to win the World Cup, Brazil, Messi, Argentina, etc. So if anything, they're saying in the short term, it could be a very interesting signing, because from now until the World Cup starts, you're going to get a Neymar that is going to be like, okay, this is my last merry-go-round, right? This is the last time I'm going to get myself super in fit, super ready, become as professional as I can possibly be in the lead-up of the World Cup. And then once the World Cup is over, though, then the big question becomes, okay, what Neymar do you get post-World Cup? And then do you see the Neymar again that is more focused on partying, going to fashion shows and social media, and lets football become, you know, this clear, call it, you know, second priority in his life, or just an afterthought even at that point, because that's what we've seen since from Neymar, really, ever since he left Barca. We've not seen... we have not seen he might ever reach that full potential that he was setting himself up for, right? When he wanted to leave Messi's shadow and kind of like become the pillar and the star of a team and in a project like PSG, that hasn't happened. It's been a flop. It's been an absolute flop.
Kind of pains me to say, but do you remember we did that podcast and we kind of predicted how Neymar's the end of his career will go and how he'll age? Pains me to say, but we were right on our analysis that he's just going to age terribly. He doesn't take care of himself the way some other great athletes do at their age. And also, he just is broken physically because he was frail to begin with. He didn't have much muscle tone. And people in Ligue 1 has just been breaking his ankles for like 4 years now, however long it's been.
Yeah.
So it's, we should get back to the questions. There's two.
Okay.
Because this discussion came from one question. So let's imagine what's left. Actually, actually one of the questions was Tahmid Kalam, our patron, says, how do these financial levers actually mean that Barca can spend money now? Have they been given all the money up front in these deals? Do we have anything to add on that? Or is that a Friday question? A patron episode question?
Well, I think I kind of answered it. I mean, look, these things, you don't necessarily get a lump sum of money up front, no. But like any big corporation that we're dealing with, you know, tens of hundreds of millions. Like Barca still is a money-making machine. So the money they have coming in over a monthly, like let's say it's $1 million a month, and if they get a loan for, let's say, or they get money, let's say 100 million coming, let's just keep that around figures, right? Well, that credit that you might get from a bank or loan or from whatever, you know, is you're making up for that because of the money that you're generating as well. It's not like Barca has stopped becoming a global conglomerate and a business that generates a whole shit bunch of cash. So, these questions with finances, like when Hoeneß talks about this and that and the other, and how can they still be signing players? It's easy kind of to target Barca and to ask these kind of questions without being really kind of, I guess, rational about it, the way that business gets done with other football coaches, businesses. And so I don't know, man, does that make sense? I'm noticing that I'm having camera problems as well, on and off. So
yeah, you're gone now. It just says looking for the phone. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Cause you're losing you're using your phone as a webcam. Another question, this one is from Luis Berga. He says, I think one of the coolest bits of La Liga news is Luis Campos joining Celta Vigo as a sporting director. Any chance he turns them into a Monaco or Lille for La Liga? Do you think there's any realistic chance of a Leicester City-type Cinderella happening in La Liga? If there was ever a time for it to happen, it seems like now with Barca rebuilding, Atletico wobbling, and Real Madrid solid but still reliant on the old guard. Even if not Celta, do you see any team in the league who are one or two pieces away from disrupting the top three? Well, it's interesting because Celta had confirmed also in their announcement that Campos was actually advising them for a few months. And Campos himself, in another report I read, that one of his conditions in joining PSG as an advisor was that he would still be able to advise Celta Vigo simultaneously, which is interesting. So I love it. I mean, how can I not love it? You know, if Luis Campos can bring his scouting acumen and his network and pump Celta with really good players that are under the radar, that are scouted properly, and turns them into like a Monaco-type team, that's great news for the league. So might be more of a long-term project because Campos himself apparently is really interested in working with them for years. We'll see how it goes. So, yes, I think it's exciting. Do you have anything to add to that?
I'm sorry, man. I have you noticed? I dropped off completely. I missed that whole thing.
Oh, I didn't know you left. I was looking at the question of document.
The whole Zoom, my whole application went down. I was like, oh no, I'm going to have to restart.
Oh, really? You
this
just,
or something.
You left the call and everything?
It just crashed, yes. My laptop went off Wi-Fi and the application crashed. I'm very sorry.
Churros. That's okay. I was just talking about Luis Campos. And him joining Celta.
But still being linked to PSG though, right? I mean, he is still he's on the services of
He's doing both.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, one of his conditions in joining PSG was that he still wanted to work with Celta.
Okay. Yeah, good. Personally, his experience. I don't know, Kian. For me, it's not like Luis Campos was much on my radar before this whole entire thing started to develop. So I'm not really, incredibly familiar with his work, but the fact that he's taken over from, what's his name, Leonardo, and, him being so wanted, of course, I think that would mean that his track record speaks for himself. So for a club like Celta to now continue to be working with him has to be a good thing for Celta de Vigo for sure. Yeah.
Well, he's mostly known for listeners who are not necessarily familiar with him. Apart from joining PSG now, and obviously the fact that he's there is also partly due to sporting director Kylian Mbappe, who was initially the Campos was the guy who brought. Who basically discovered Mbappe at Monaco. So that's part of the thing he's known for. But he's known for basically the people he brought in at Lille and Monaco, right? So that great Monaco team that kind of took the world by storm, made a good run in Europe, a lot of that was down to him. Like, we're talking about the Bernardo Silvas. We're talking about the Kylian Mbappes. We're talking about the Fabinhos. So those guys, that's Campos takes credit. Like that's the stuff he's known mostly for, to being a good scout, kind of finding the under radar young players, etc. So, doesn't seem like it'll be a bad day for Celta. There's a last part of this question from Luis. Do we see any teams in the league who are one or two pieces away from disrupting the top three? What do you think?
Too soon. I don't know.
It's kind of, to me, always the same kinds of teams. It's the Sevillas.
But you're talking top three. So top three would be, let's talk about top four, because at this point it's Sevilla, Atletico, Barça, Madrid, right?
Yeah, I mean, but Sevilla were like 2 points away from being top three this season. Came close. But yeah, sure. Like
they're not a disruptor. You're looking at the fifth. Who's going to be that fifth that is able to disrupt, to ruffle the feathers of the top four? Because for me, the top four are so solid defined. You right now, I can't imagine any team being able to compete. Well, unless, again, Betis just have an even more stellar season, and Pellegrino continues to do fantastic work with them, which he has been doing. So,
Betis or Villarreal, I think, have the highest ceilings, even higher than Real Sociedad. I feel like Betis are going to get one big player.
I don't know.
Betis are going to get a Ceballos or Isco type figure, I think. And I think that'll help, maybe.
Well, if Betis get Haaland, then they could be interesting. They could be. All jokes aside, I don't know if you saw that video, though. It was hilarious, Joaquin and Haaland. Yeah. It was so good. And he was saying, no space in Betis. He wants to come, but there's no more space. But Morales, El Comandante, signing for Villarreal could be a good signing for them, because, they need some clinical finishing sometimes, and from their number nine with Gerard Moreno, so sometimes with his injury issues and everything. So, but I think I would give the edge to Betis over Villarreal, even though, of course, I mean, look at them in the Champions League; they were great.
Yeah, I agree with that. Either way, I think those are the two with the highest ceilings of doing something to disrupt, quote unquote. But I think we agreed that the one who would disrupt the most would be Sevilla, because they'd be in our top four, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Do we have anything we want to get off our chest before we wrap this one up?
Just, I mean, I'll bring the heat. We need to find a way to do it as well, where we make these, kind of freestyle intros or regular, but how I could record it live, because, when I do the pod solo or record it on GarageBand, which is also why I can kind of like compress and, kind of do some audio engineering on the sound, make the quality nice. But,
Yeah.
I'm happy that you enjoyed it, that you liked it so much, and again, thank you and to the listeners for the good feedback.
Well, I think the best way to do it would be, I mean, there's two options. One is you could just create an intro that is just always the intro, like that every time someone presses play on churros, that's what they hear. So we could do that, and plus you could have a and then on top of that, as that intro music fades, it could jump into you doing a freestyle for each pod that's fresh. But listen, I don't
Did
like,
you
I saw you were
yeah.
having a patron discussion on the patron inbox. Like someone suggested, hey, can you do an intro? And you were like very enthusiastic. Yes. I'm not even bringing it up beyond that. I just know that you know, and I know that you got to work on something and it's on you. So I'm saying it publicly just to put more pressure on you.
Good. No, I want it's welcome pressure. Also, I mean, somebody, listener once suggested or asked if he could send me a beat or beats to do to freestyle over. If that listener is listening, I've said it already. Again, this being the free version, because I mentioned it on the Patreon one. But if that person is listening, yes, send in your beats and I'll do some little freestyles for sure.
We didn't talk about Reamdur at all
If the
this podcast.
beats are good, it's gotta be fire, right? I'm gonna be free with some whack ass shit. Okay,
Yeah, well, if it's
I
whack ass
bring my
shit,
A
you don't even
game.
answer. You just let it disappear. We didn't
Yeah,
talk about
but yeah,
Reamdur at
send
all,
it in.
right?
Yeah, no. So you gotta.
I need my
Well, no, we
headline.
did. We talked about a bit of Zizou and Ronaldo signing from their respective teams, forcing their signings to
Like
Madrid.
5 seconds.
Why not? It was something.
Have to think of something. Right.
Is there not? I'm looking now. Real Madrid is multiplying. Headline in Marca. They are de la cuadra calafat. What is that?
This is a disaster. You're grabbing something from Marca at the end of the
From
podcast.
Marca, but yeah, well, I'm trying to do you a favor here, man. You're the Madrid. You come up with a topic.
I'll figure something out. Don't worry.
Okay.
We're gonna torture people trying to figure something right now. I
All
guess we'll
right.
just say if you like this podcast, go over to patreon.com/churros y tácticas. The video version of this will also be available on YouTube probably. And yeah, this was fun. I really enjoyed this. I miss this, having these conversations with you. So glad to be back
Me
on a
too, man.
regular
Welcome
schedule.
back. Yes, yes.
A patron is asking if you're coming to Vegas, by the way. Are you going to come to Vegas for Clásico?
Somebody asked, no, there's no chance.
Is it expensive
Absolutely no chance.
from Spain?
Well, plus, I mean, somebody like have Bruno cover like traveling with the team and
Oh,
Mikey Toll,
you
so
can't
yeah.
make that pitch for that to be you or for you to join the team and work on a story?
No, because I have to cover it in the studio.
Mm.
It's the same with the Australia trip because I have a buddy there that I wanted to see, and it was like, well, no, you're not the pitch side reporter, so.
Would you want, like, Australia is just so, I feel like to your body to recover from that trip would have been, it takes like a year to recover. It's so far away.
Yeah, it is.
It seems like
It is.
no one wanted to go on that trip. The players, no one. I think that happened,
Very
like that
far.
whole thing happened while I was away, but that would have been an interesting conversation too. Anyways, Diego, this was fun. We'll chat, I guess, next week and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Peace, bro.
I'm working, but thank you. Peace out, bro.
Sports Social Podcast Network.